Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Texas Panhandle Sports Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Security Insurance Agency and Belmar Bakery and Cafe in Amarillo. Today's Wednesday, November 16th. We're entering the area round of the high school football playoffs this week. I'm Steve Forrest alongside Cale Steed. How are you, my man?
I was good until you played that Criss Cross.
Hey, man,
music.
You know you like Criss Cross.
I'm not a fan of Criss Cross.
Yes, you are. You used to dance to it whenever we were in high school.
You're mixing it up for Vanilla Ice, and no, we weren't in high school or middle school.
Well, we listened to that in high school.
I didn't wear my pants backwards like you did.
Yeah, you wore all of your clothes back. Yeah, don't act like you don't like Criss Cross.
Not a fan.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan of Criss Cross.
How you doing?
So are you. I'm doing good, brother. Doing good.
Brother.
We're finally back.
Yeah, another week.
Yeah, another week. Things are slowing down a little bit just because of the.
It's nice. It works, but you actually focus on like one or two things.
Yeah, you
12.
Don't have as much going on. Yeah. Well, we have some teams that were eliminated last week in the bye district round, so we have fewer teams, you know, for you to cover now.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately for those, we don't like to see any teams in the Panhandle get knocked out of the playoffs, but we did have a few. This week in some classifications. We'll get into that in a minute. But
In fact, we're taking a look at this. I think last year at this time we had at least 25, 26 teams. This year, 17.
17, right.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it was a tough bi-district week for some teams in the area, for sure. And there were some surprises as well.
Yeah, big surprises. And you want to jump right into this and go?
Yeah, we'll jump right into it and start out in 6A. Of course, our only 6A team in Tascosa. Yeah, they had a big win over El Paso Montwood, 47-16, the final score in that one. And, Kel, they move on to play Mansfield Friday at 7 in Wichita Falls. Mansfield's a tough team, 7-0 in district. They won their district, 9-2 overall.
And they have I don't know his name at the moment. Of course, it blanked on me, but one of the best running backs in the state that Tascosa is going to see on Friday night. And that's our biggest team left. And, you know, hopefully Tascosa could hang in there and fight. They've got a very good defense. They need to do the right things offensively and keep the ball away from that Mansfield team and that running back and keep him off the field. But it's going to be a tough game. I think Lee Pasquale will be down there covering it for us. So we'll have full coverage on Amarillo.com.
Amarillo.com. Yeah. Cheap pop.
Cheap pop.
No, that is, our biggest team left in the area.
Yeah.
And Tascosa making it past the bi-district round with a big win over Montwood. Again, that game is Friday at 7 in Wichita Falls. Should be a tough matchup for Tascosa. Hopefully they can come away with a win there. And it was a tough night for 5A last week.
3-5A just got.
It was a good night for Lubbock, bad night for our area teams.
Yeah. Boy, I thought at least Caprock was going to pull it out on Saturday up 28-7 on Coronado and their old coach Seth Parr, but that offense Coronado woke up and it was just, I think, the mixture of Caprock thinking we're up 28-7 maybe to the fact of maybe they got tired in the fourth quarter and let Coronado come back. And then the biggest shocker to me, though, was Emerald High and Monterey.
Yeah, I think that was a shocker to a lot of people. You know, I really think a lot of people expected the Sandys to roll.
I did.
Lubbock-Monterey last Friday, 21-16, they go down. And, you know, AHS, they won district. They won their district here.
Yeah.
But they end their season at, I believe, 8-3. Mm-hmm. But that's a tough loss to Lubbock Monterey, 21-16. I don't think a lot of people saw it coming.
No, just to kind of summed up what happened in Emerald High this year, it just seemed like they never got to that level everybody thought they were supposed to get to. And I'm not criticizing anything. I think Mel Maxfield's a heck of a coach. He's always one of my Coach of the Year prospects when the season starts because he always plays a tough schedule. But, yeah, they just didn't seem to have that it factor this year that they usually have. And you kind of see that when you watch them play Caprock or you saw them play Lubbock Cooper earlier in the season. And what about Canyon? You know, speaking of Lubbock Cooper, Canyon, just a bad first half, and all of a sudden it gets away from them by halftime. They play amazing in the second half, but by then it was already over.
Yeah, and they kind of made it a little bit closer, but it was pretty much over at that point. 48-34, the final score, and that one Canyon goes down to Lubbock Cooper.
All the
they
talent.
Just didn't have
that
time to get to make it up.
Yeah, and all the talent on that team. And Gunnar Palacios, as good as he is, Dane Douglas, Jalen Ford, I mean, they're loaded. And I really thought that was a team that I was going to see two or three rounds into the playoffs. I hate that for Canyon because I'm a big fan of Blake Bryant. I'm a big fan of Canyon.
Yeah, a big fan of all these teams. Tough losses, again, for 5A. And we talked about earlier Caprock. They lost that one by 1 point, 41-40 over to Lubbock Coronado.
Yeah, and that was their last hope on a Saturday. You know, that was the last hope for 3-5A, and now Lubbock's all in the second round, and our guys are back home. You know, and another season ender, Dumas.
Dumas, another one in 5A.
Yeah, Abilene Cooper's very good. That was a tough matchup for them early. But if you look at the numbers of Abilene Cooper and Dumas, I don't even know why they're playing each other. It's kind of just, I mean, I'm not saying, and I know Chad Dunham won't make an excuse. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but that's a tough game when they have double the kids you have.
That's a very tough matchup for Dumas. Yeah. I think it's very unfortunate that they got stuck with that one in the first round. They had an excellent season. We talked about them all year.
Coach Dunham
had a great team over there, and then they get stuck with Abilene Cooper in the first round, and they go down 37-14.
Yeah, and that's a good year, though. Hey, congrats to the Dunham boys. I know that they're not satisfied, but you still got to go back and look at what happened when he took it over to what he's done today. And it's amazing to see what the Dunham guys, Chad and Aaron, have done there.
So in 5A, Amarillo High, Caprock Canyon, and Dumas, they all lose.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done up here. Lubbock Monterey, Lubbock Coronado, and Lubbock Cooper all won.
And Abilene.
So it was in Abilene Cooper, of course. But good night for Lubbock last week. And
I hope them all the best. I think Lubbock Cooper will be interesting to see them and keep going in the playoffs. I'm a fan of that team.
And again, they had a big win over Canyon, 48-34. So can't talk about any 5A teams moving on out of the area. So we got to go down to 4A, and I want to start with the Bushland Falcons. They had a great night. They defeated Greenwood from Midland, 49-42.
Yeah, and they get this. They give up 635 yards to get a win.
I'll say they had a good night. They had a good night because they won.
They won. Yeah.
You know, you give up 635. I'm laughing because it's just you don't see that a lot.
Nobody's happy
with that. I can guarantee you that. That's tough.
At the end of the night, what do you see? 49-42, and you're going to the next round. So that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. You get the W. You know, nobody's going to remember that they gave up 635 yards. It's going to be they got the W and by district champions. Moving on to face Glen Rose. Yeah. Glen Rose won their district.
Yeah, 4-4A.
But they're only 7-4 overall. Glen Rose's first four games of the season were all losses. They lost the first four games
of the season.
Happened? Yeah, they started 0-4 and ended their season with seven straight wins in a row. And so they're definitely on a roll.
Yeah, they are. And real quick about Bushland, Steve, and congratulations. It's the first win under Jimmy Thomas, playoff win in the 3 years he's been there. And it's their first win since moving out of 2A into 4A, which would have been 3A to 4A. It's their first win in 4A Division II, so you got to give them a lot of credit. Congratulations to Bushland. And they had 500 yards offensive self in that game. So
that doesn't surprise me at all with the talent they have on that offensive side of the ball.
They're healthy. I did a story, in fact, today, a little preview with them. They're healthy as they've ever been, and they're confident right now. Colt Moore's playing well. Gage Clymer, the whole offense, is playing well. Jaron Alvarado and them, they'll have to shore some things up on defense because this Glen Rose team, man, I'm telling you, they have a quarterback here. Ethan Hartman, 3,000 yards passing, 33 touchdowns. 800 yards rushing, 22 touchdowns.
Wow.
So it kind of all goes through him.
Yeah.
So they'll have to contain him for sure if they want to have a chance to get to that third round and play Sweetwater Crum.
Definitely. That game against Glen Rose is going to be in Friday at Iowa Park.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever you face a team that has a dual-threat quarterback like that and a true dual-threat that has great numbers like that, it's always going to be very difficult. But, you know, I have faith in Bushland as well because I've seen them play this year. They're healthy. They're a great team
on offense. Yeah, especially. You saw them, what they can do. And real quick, you know, they play Sweetwater Crum. You're a guy that's like me, like finds words funny. Crum. What do you think of that?
Well, I love that name. Yeah, Crum.
Crum. The Crum Bums.
Yeah, there you go.
It'd be great if they were really called the Crum Bums.
Well, again, the Bushland Falcons move on after defeating Midland Greenwood. They'll face Glen Rose Friday at Iowa Park. Pampa, they rolled over Clint 45-21.
What a win for the Harvesters, man.
They needed that. That was a big one.
And I talked to Coach Pointer, and he said the most important thing was getting that bye week after that loss to Levland. They kind of got back to basics and kind of got some emotional issues out of the way and – or not out of the way, but under control. And, man, they looked like the team we thought they could be. Clint was 9-1. They weren't some schlub they were playing in the first round. You know, they were 9-1. They were a good football team. And Brandon Stewart, Jason Thomas, Brandon Wolfley, Darryl Fields, they're just doing what they need to do right now. And how about Brandon Stewart's numbers real quick? 3,719 passing yards, 42 touchdowns.
Wow. Those
best,
are great
best
numbers.
In the area. Yeah, best in the area by far. Now they get Abilene Wiley. That's a very good football
Another
team.
Another 9-1 team. Abilene Wiley's 9-1.
A different 9-1 than Clint, though.
Right, definitely a different 9-1 than Clint. That'll be a tough one facing the Bulldogs. That the Plains Capital, Lowry and Lubbock.
Yeah, it could be a track meet. Abilene Wiley scores 47 a game. Pampa 41. They got this running back Brooks Pepper, 876 yards rushing on just 110 carries this year with 10 touchdowns. So he'll be a factor. Wiley, a team that knows how to win. They've been to this round millions of times. So it'll be a good game. I think Pampa, if they can just work their offense, they can hang in there.
Should be a great matchup over in Lubbock on Friday.
Yeah,
those are the two teams that I've out of our area that move out of 4A there's three other teams that we need to talk about that had some tough seasons. Borger particularly had a tough season, did make the playoffs. You know, there's four teams in that district.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough one to Andrews, and honestly, they just didn't have a chance against the tough Andrews team.
Yeah, they're stopped matched a little bit in that game.
Yeah, definitely a four and a one seed. That one was a tough one. So Borger ends their season. Also, Dalhart had a tough season as well, but they made the playoffs. And they lost to Sweetwater 48-21. Sweetwater obviously is a very tough team.
Another one unexpected, and now you're about to say one that kind of shocked us.
Yeah, another one that shocked us out of 4A is Perryton. They took a tough loss to Seminole 33-7. A lot of people expected Perryton to go very deep in the playoffs this year. A lot of buzz surrounding the Rangers. And I was watching the scoreboard on Friday during our game, and I was shocked to see that.
Yeah, you're watching the scoreboard and you're going 7-7. Okay. 13-7 and a half. Okay, they're fine. And then it's 27-7 or 26-7, 33-7. It's like,
again.
Man. And I talked to Steve Corsi, and he said, you know, it was a thing of we played their worst, or Perryton played their worst, and Seminole played their best, and their quarterback, Seminole's good.
Yeah, they're good.
You know, they have a solid quarterback there, and I don't know, man. I really had those guys penciled in to go deep. So.
Four rounds at least. I mean, you expected that. It just, you know, and that when that happens, though, it's a bad timing, obviously, to have your worst game of the year in the first round of the playoffs, you know, and you go down to Seminole. Again, Seminole's a great team, though. They're not a slouch either, but, you know, Perryton was expected to go. They were picked by a lot of people, you know, in this area especially, to go pretty far in the playoffs. So.
And a great year, though. You can't take away from what they did. 92, nine in a row. Hadley Allred with a terrific season. He'll be an All-State nominee for us for sure. I mean, Sean Walton's probably the best D-lineman we have here. Dalton Rigdon. I mean, and thanks to Steve Corsi all year for turning his stats to us. That's huge to us. And he's such a nice guy, character guy. And year one for him, you have to put him in Coach of the Year consideration up here.
Absolutely. Had an excellent year to the Rangers.
Yeah.
You know, it ended like they didn't want it to end there, but you can't take anything away from Perryton. I think they had a great year. We spoke very highly of them all year long because they were just pretty dominant all year around here and had a great season. So, congratulations to Steve Corsi on a great season on his first year taking over from David Flowers over there in Perryton. That'll do it for 4A. And moving down to 3A Division 2,
Division
1, sorry, River Road. They got a big win over Grape Creek, 62-29, the final score in that one last week in the bi-district round. Congratulations to the Wildcats bi-district champions. A lot of people, you know, may not have picked them this year, and they had a great district season. They go on and win their first playoff game.
I believed in them the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about. I said this from the beginning.
Did you?
The
second game of the year, they played Canadian. I called that game, and I got to see how big, and I'm going to say it, they're big, they're physical.
Big, physical.
They really are. They're a big and physical team, and they've kind of really come along in their skill positions in their skill game as well. So I think that's helped them. And River Road's just kind of surprising people. But, Kale, they got to face Brock now.
Ugh.
And Brock is the defending state champion in 3A Division 1. They're undefeated this year. That game's going to be Friday, 7 o'clock in Sweetwater.
And you saw Brock, man. You seen him last year. I saw him last year at the state championship game against Yo. And Yo got that running back hurt right before it happened, or it would have been different. But, man, God, they're good. They don't make any mistakes.
Brock is only in their maybe third year in football.
Yeah, third, fourth year, yeah.
Yeah, and every year they've just been improving and improving.
They're loaded.
They're very, very dominant and talented football team in Brock. And I'm not taking anything away from River Row, but I'm saying this is going to be a very tough matchup for them.
I completely agree, man. I don't know. You're just going to have to play your perfect football.
Yeah.
That's all I can say on that. And let's hope that Wiggins and them are still moving on the next week because they're a good team. And great to see what they've been able to do.
They are a great team. And like you said, they'll have to play mistake-free football. They'll have to play the best game they've ever played and to even have a chance against Brock. And, again, not taking anything away from the Wildcats. But Brock is just one of those teams that you see every year pretty much in every classification. There's at least one dominant football team out there that's probably going to go win it all or at least make it to state. Brock is that team this year at 3A Division I. Also, at a 3A, Littlefield – over Crane, 63-20.
And no surprise there.
They'll face Bowie, who is 6-5 on the year, Saturday at 6 in Sweetwater. Looks like Littlefield, based on the record of Bowie, you know.
Has a chance. And that's why River Road, that's why losing that game to River Road, losing that game to Littlefield hurts them so bad because they would get another round here to get another win. Most likely, that's what I meant to say. And instead of avoiding Brock in that second round. But Littlefield, you know, they got hammered by Stratford 48-7. And Coach Huseman said best thing that happened to him all year because everything transformed from there. They changed some things, and now look at them. they're playing their best football of the season. So good luck to Littlefield.
And also out of that Mule Shoe, they beat Kermit 68-13, dominant game. They're going to face Breckenridge, another game that Mule Shoe should be able to move right through. Breckenridge 5-6 on the year.
Another game where you're like River Road, they're third. They should be a harder road than River Road.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, happened there?
I don't know, man. But they're loaded, so outloaded offensively. I don't think they'll have any problems with Breckenridge. I think you'll see Mule Shoe go in the third round.
Yeah, I agree. That game Friday at 7 o'clock. I expect Mule Shoe to get past Breckenridge as well. And the other team out of 3A Division One, Shallow Water, they had a tough season, but they did make the playoffs. But they lost to a very tough Wall team, 47-18. The Wall Hawks are really good this year.
Yeah, the Wall Hawks are always really good. I've seen them a few times in the past. And they're kind of comparable to Bushland if you look at it up here in our region. I mean, right outside of San Angelo, about 10 miles, and just loaded with talent every year. You know, Joe Lombard, the Canyon girls basketball coach, son, Tate, is the girls basketball coach there, and he does a great job, won 2 titles already there. So, yeah, Wall is just one of those teams that just does it and everything.
They seem to get a lot of talent coming through there every year. They don't ever have to rebuild. They're just going to reload every
year. Yeah.
Yeah, so tough loss for Shallow Water, 47-18 to Wall. Wall moving on. And that'll do it for 3A Division 1. But now moving to Division 2 out of 3A, Spearman wins last Friday in the bye district round 21-7 over Colorado City.
Yeah, how about them?
And so that's a good win for Spearman and Coach Rodman. Yeah, but they've got to face the tough Sonora team this week. That game's going to be tomorrow, Thursday, over in Lubbock.
The only Thursday game out of our 16 games. So we have 15 Friday games and one Thursday game. Yeah, Spearman, Peyton Smith, and them, they're looking good right now. They just got to run the football. That's what they do. Be physical, run the football, keep it away from your opponent. Pretty much that's Spearman's game for you.
Yeah, that is. And they're going to face Sonora again. You know, and Sonora's always just a perennial power in 3A. Yeah.
And I agree.
And we got a chance to talk to someone about the Sonora.
Yeah, my good friend Jason Bretch, he was a sports guy here at Channel 4 for a couple of years, and now he's the sports director at Case San in San Angelo. Does a great job down there on TV. And this guy works his butt off, man. He deserves everything he gets, and he took a few minutes out of his time to talk about that and Cisco Childress. Jason Bretch from Case San, sports director, joining us here on the show. Jason, how you doing, bud?
Doing great, Kel. How are you doing?
Oh, doing well, man. And Jason was a longtime sports anchor up here at NBC, KMR, KCIT, and did great work and knows the area real well up here. And now he's covering the, Concho Valley? Is that what they call it down there?
Yes, sir. Concho Valley. Yes, sir.
All right, man. And, you know, you got San Angelo Central, who's always a loaded program. But we're going to talk 3A first, Division II, Sonora Spearman. You know a lot about Sonora compared to what we know. And first off, Sonora seems to be traditionally powerhouse, and is it that way again this year?
So far, the way it's been going, The only loss this year, Kale, you can't really blame them a whole lot for it. It was to 2A Ira Ann, but you and I both know the kind of powerhouse team that the Ira Ann Braves have every year, and it was a late loss, too. They fell very late in the game, and their problem was in that one, they couldn't stop the run. That was their deal with Ira Ann, so I think that their matchup coming up with Spearman, Spearman, a traditional running team, can really maybe pose some issues to the Sonora defense, Nate.
I completely agree with that. We look for a good game. Also, we have a couple other matchups. I know you don't cover these teams, but still you know these teams well enough. What do you think about when you hear Cisco and Childress?
Cisco and Childress, man, y'all been talking about Childress all year. They gave Canadian a great game. Took them down to the wire. So anytime you can take any Canadian team down to the wire and hang with them, I think you're a pretty darn good team. So I think I like Childress in that one. I mean, of course, Cisco is always has a great team. You never know, though, in those 2 and 3A, those lower-seeded matchups. But I like Childress against Cisco. But, Cisco could have the upper hand if Cisco plays the way Cisco does usually.
Yeah, I like it, man. And now let's talk your neck of the woods there. We know about Central, I guess. Talk about who they got. And man, they got a chance to play Allen at home. Is that right?
Yes, they have a chance to play Allen at home. Head coach Davis has already done the coin flip with Allen. And if they win, if Allen and Central both win, the game will be next Friday. It'll be an afternoon game at San Angelo Central. So, but first, they got to get past Timber Creek. they can't overlook this team, this Killer Timber Creek team, that just took down Arlington Martin last week in a come-from-behind win. That's the big thing you got to watch out for. And when we talked to Central Head Coach Brent Davis earlier in the week, he said their most dangerous thing that Timber Creek does is special teams. Go figure that. Their biggest thing is special teams. They've scored several touchdowns this year on fake punts, you know, just fake field goal, extra points, just anything like that. So the Bobcats got to be really aware of the Timber Creek special teams.
And then another team down there, that would be a great, by the way, that would be, I could see 25,000 at that stadium pretty easily if that happens.
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah, it holds 17,500.
Yeah, you're going to have to bring in.
Yeah, you could easily see 20,000 being there, absolutely.
Tell Brent McCauley to start bringing in the bleachers, you know, fast.
Yeah, he's gonna probably have to find maybe another area for the band to sit, maybe create another deck or something
like that. Last question.
They might not even have standing room.
Thanks to Jason for joining us over there, Jason Briggs.
Yeah, I cut that interview a little short because Jason and I are so good friends, I could talk to Jason for 30 minutes. But anyway, he's an avid listener of the show, Steve. He's the one.
He's the only one.
Yeah. And he's every week he asks us about when's the podcast coming out. We send him a link, and he loves it. And we appreciate Jason. He's a real knowledgeable kid, and he's really doing a good job down at KSN. He's taken the brass ring, so you say, and he's ran with it, and I'm proud of him. And him and I worked a couple years here together, and I kind of – you know, we kind of worked together, and we worked off each other, and he's a great guy, and glad to see he's doing good.
Speaking of support, though, we'd like to thank Belmar Bakery and Cafe and Dina Zaccardo.
Yes.
And also Clint Allred, Security Insurance Agency out of Perryton and Booker for supporting the TPS podcast.
Yeah.
And Panhandle Sports in general. We definitely appreciate them for sponsoring the TPS podcast.
And Clint Allred, also an avid listener, so we got to – I can't say that. Sure. Jason's the only one. We got two.
Yeah, we got two. That's right. Well, we are in 3A Division II, and we talked about Spearman having to face Sonora. We just talked to Jason a little bit about that. That's going to be a tough matchup for Spearman. Sonora's another good team, as they are pretty much every year. Again, the only Thursday game, that one's tomorrow in Lubbock. And speaking of 3A Division II, Dimmitt. How about the Dimmitt Bobcats?
Man,
the first time they made
the
playoffs in four decades. And, yeah, I went to go watch that game. They played Idaloo last Friday.
And it didn't go turn out. But, man, they didn't get out. I mean, they weren't outclassed, were they?
Not at all. That was actually a closer game than you would think, looking at the score. 28-0 was the score. It honestly could have been 35-0 because Idaloo could have scored at the end of the game. They took a knee. A lot of class there. But the final score, Dimmitt lost to Idaloo 28-0. But I was there from start to finish. And really, honestly, the first half, it was 14-0 at halftime. Could have been 7-0 really easily. They kind of got a late touchdown right before the second quarter ended. Did Idaloo, so it made it 14-0 at halftime. But easily could have been 7-0 Idaloo over Dimmitt at halftime, and that's close.
Yeah.
Dimmitt kept it really close. I'm surprised, like you are, they didn't score any points.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a team they could score on points on. You said they had opportunities to score.
They had at least three or four opportunities for touchdowns, dropped passes, you know, just right down near the goal line, couldn't get in, turnovers on downs, things like that. They just couldn't get it. And I think really what it was, Kyle, was they weren't outmatched by Idaloo by that much, but it was experience because Dimmitt,
that's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Dimmitt didn't have the experience. They've got kids. I think the nerves came out a little bit, and that was the difference in this game.
And Idaloo has all the experience when it comes to the playoffs. Man, they're
it's
one of those.
It's just a given they're going to make the playoffs and try to make a run.
They're a very mirror image to the team we're about to talk about, Canadian, to me. Those two teams have kind of patterned themselves over the last decade of being exactly the same. You notice that?
Yeah, they really do pattern themselves after Canadian. Those teams have some history. Before we get to Canadian, though, I do want to say congratulations to the Bobcats Coach Gunner for making the playoffs of 40 years.
I mean, that you don't understand what that does for a community, man. And now, you know, you got some momentum rolling. And what can that do throughout your whole program? And not only football, but everything, you know, because your football team is good. It always kind of makes everything else just a little bit better.
Yeah, it was neat. We got to sit on the – we sat on the Dimmitt side.
Yeah,
you know, and,
you and your mom,
yeah,
Janice.
We went to go watch them just because I thought that was going to be a good matchup, and it really was. But just to see the Dimmitt fans there, the first time they made the playoffs in so many years, they were excited about it, you know. And so that was a lot of fun. So congratulations to the Bobcats on a great season, making the playoffs in a tough district. But speaking of tough district, Canadian came out of that district on top, 1-3-A Division II. They had a big win last week, 54-0 over Lubbock Roosevelt. That was expected.
Yeah, that was nothing. You did that poor Roosevelt team. I don't know where they got their wins from.
Yeah, that was a tough matchup for them. They honestly If I'm being real honest, they had no chance whatsoever to win that game. The whole last quarter, Canadians JV was in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm talking not two unit. I'm talking JV, real JV that got called up from JV. And that was a great experience for those JV guys to get a playoff game, you know, experience, a whole quarter. So
well, that's what Canadians done the last 2 years, man. These guys, think of the guys that are varsity now that's gotten 20 extra practices over the last 2 years.
And that really does make a huge difference.
Huge difference. And they're playing all the time. Like, look at those kids like Corbin Douthat, first year's varsity quarterback, right? How many games did he get to play in the last 2 years for Schaefer in the second half?
He's a first-year starter, but it just doesn't seem that way because he played a ton in the last couple seasons under Tanner Schaefer at quarterback.
Yeah, right.
He's gotten a lot of action. So seeing Corbin in at quarterback his first year, it doesn't seem like he's a rookie quarterback as a senior.
Yeah.
And Corbin's been a great leader for the Wildcats all year long. He's really coming into it, too. We noticed that Friday at the game. He's really stepping up, and he's doing some good things. And, you know, you expect the Canadian to really dominate that game, in which they did. And, we call that game on Canadian Sports Network.
Yep.
And we'll call the next one as Canadian faces Eastland this Friday at 7 in Vernon. And that's going to be a tough matchup for the Wildcats in second round in the area round.
This is a game, man, in Eastland. In Canadian, this isn't one of those Canadian games you're going to – be playing those guys at halftime.
Most likely it's not going to be. Eastland's not going to
give
in like that. They're a tough team.
A little history lesson here. And their head coach at Eastland, James Morton, was it Friona throughout the 90s, laid down legacy there, went to the state semis in 96, coached at Midland Lee up to last year, and now he's back to Eastland. I think that might be his hometown, is what Lance was telling me.
I think it is.
Yeah, his hometown, Eastland Mavs. And, you know, then there's a tie-in with Andy Cavalier, the defensive coordinator. He was the defensive coordinator at Eastland under Brian Hewlett. So a lot of tie-ins to these two teams, even though the kids don't know each other very well. These coaching staff sure as well do.
Yeah, they definitely do. There's some history there between the teams. And, again, Eastland's going to give Canadian a challenge. But, you know, if you look at both sides, Canadian is going to challenge Eastland as well. They're such a good team. But this really could prove to be a pretty good matchup over in Vernon Friday at 7. Eastland comes out of District 2-3A, out of Region 1, District 4.
Yeah.
And second place in that tough district of Cisco's on top of that district. They won at 5-0. Then Eastland's right there
4-1.
At 4-1. And then Coleman's in there and Toler. So that was a tough district for Eastland to come out of. They've got some big wins this year.
So I think Canadian, unlike you, I think if Canadian plays the way they're supposed to, they'll win this game. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any kind of means. I think it's going to be a very close competitive game coming into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I've watched some film on Eastland, and they're a really good football. They're solid at all areas. You know, they don't have a lot of weaknesses. They've got a great quarterback. They've got a running back that's rushed for over 1,500 yards this year, Chris Martinez. So, yeah, they're definitely going to be a good team for Canadian to face in the second round. I think Canadian comes away with it with the win. But they've got to play really good football on Friday. Again, you can listen to that game on Canadian Sports Network, canadiansportsnet.com. You can also download our free app. If you're in the Canadian area, you can listen on 91.3 FM. And you can also find us on Facebook, Canadian Sports Network, and I'll have a link on there you can go listen to if you want to listen to a good game on Friday. Got to get that in there.
You know, Steve, when we created this podcast, we didn't – this one a boost for your radio
sure
show.
Was.
We're using the same equipment, so I guess that is.
Yeah, definitely was. Yeah, just like it is for the Globe News, you know.
Yeah, this is free pub for the Globe. And by the way, if you want all your sports information on Friday night, head to Amarillo.com and the Amarillo Globe News. We'll have it all for you. Lance Lee and myself, Colby Gordon, who will be actually doing volleyball real quick. Let's throw a good luck to Amarillo High and Bushland.
State tournament.
State tournament. So anyway.
Speaking of the Globe News.
Yes, sir.
Some people may not understand. Do you guys have deadlines during the playoffs? Are they extended?
It's brutal.
Are they
Thursday nights, no. So Thursday night's 10 o'clock, which that's why last week we didn't get a lot. But now this Friday, like last Friday, it's 11:30. So last Friday we got every game in for Saturday morning. But that's for the home edition. If you live out in the area, say you live out in Borger, Canadian, Fritch, our deadline's 8:30, so
still going to be 8:30.
Still 8:30, and I know and people don't like that. I understand it's not our call.
I wanted you to explain that because I've heard some talk. You know, why don't they get our stuff?
Yeah, why don't
Saturday
we
morning?
Do get your stuff? And here's the deal. And we've tried to explain this to people. We print out of Lubbock now. We don't print in Amarillo anymore, which is we're a sister paper with Lubbock, and they have a bigger printer press, and they shut ours down. So anyway, we're printing out of Lubbock. So these guys have to, you know, that move the trucks have to come here earlier and later. So we have to print late earlier. And, Yeah, we apologize. It's not our fault in the sports department. It's not Lance's fault, not my fault. This is something that corporate did. And, yeah, it's rough for us. But, you know, everything is still going in. And it goes on Amarillo.com. And we have a brand-new AGN High School Sports app that you can get everything you need. So say it's not in there in the paper, go get that app. And you can see that everything we did. I know it might be in a day late in your paper, but it's still going to be there. And if you're in the home edition and you live in Amarillo, you're still getting all your content.
That's a good explanation for people.
Well, I just hate, you know, it's a hard explanation because I'm not trying to rip our own. I wouldn't want to rip our own company. I mean, they know what they're doing, but it's just this day and age, as you know as well as I do, the web is just kind of taking over.
Oh, absolutely.
Over,
I think it's good to get the explanation. I've heard some people all year, you know, they don't see a recap or a write-up in there on Saturday morning in the actual physical paper.
Paper, right.
You know, and so I've tried to explain to some people a little bit about what's going on, why they're not seeing that in there. There's a good reason for it.
Yeah, anyway. It's hard for us, trust me. We it's something that we don't – we wished it didn't have happen that way, but it just that's how it is.
Well, speaking of news and news reporters, I want to give a shout-out to Evan Wren over at the Abilene Reporter News.
Sure.
He covers big country sports.
He's awesome.
He's a great guy, by the way. But he gave me some information for the Canadian-Eastland matchup because he covers the Eastland Mavericks.
Does he?
Yeah, and so I appreciate Evan Wren for his help for our broadcast.
That guy's got 18,000 Twitter followers.
You need to ask him how he did that.
I do it. He's a good guy on Twitter. I've gotten to meet him a couple times. He's an awesome. He's just good at what he does, man. He's a veteran. Kind of like Lance Lonner, man. Just one of those guys that knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does some good things on Twitter, and we appreciate Evan Wren. Just want to give a shout-out to him. We have one more team to talk about in 3A Division II, and that's the Childress Bobcats. They won 58-6 over Kahoma. That was expected as well. That was another one of those mismatches. But they get to face Cisco this Friday at Wichita Falls at 7 o'clock.
This will be a dandy. I don't think that they're – I don't think so. We've talked about this. This isn't the 2013 Cisco team with Mason Reed that just piled through people, including Canadian. This is a beatable team. I don't say that lightly. I mean, Childress is going to have to play their best with Luke Darter and Salinas and those guys. But Coach Sims knows how to win. They're not intimidated by anybody, which is really good about Childress. They don't get intimidated. You saw that against Canadian. They were right there pound for pound with them. But if they play their football, I could see them coming away with this win. But also, if Cisco plays their football, you can see them coming away with it.
Could go either way. And you heard our friend Jason say he kind of was picking Childress in this game a little bit. Which, you know, that's not a stretch by any means at all. I would actually be leaning a little bit towards Childress as well.
Yeah.
But I have seen some film on Cisco this year, and their quarterback, Gale, is just so dominant that he's hard to put a stop to. He can get out of the pocket. If he does, he's very dangerous, hard to stop. Really, they rely on Gale more than anybody else. And I think if Childress can put a stop to the quarterback, Gale, they'll have a good chance of winning this game. I think it's going to be close. I think either team could pull away late. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a tough game for both sides, but it's going to be a great football matchup. And hopefully Childress can pull away with it and be one of our area teams that moves on.
It's kind of a pick'em for me.
Pretty much.
Kind of like Canadian Eastland, kind of a pick'em game. You know, you can't go wrong either way.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It should be a great matchup. A couple of great matchups there in 3A Division II with Canadian and Eastland, Childress and Cisco, and then Spearman facing Sonora as well. And finally getting into our 2A ranks, the Division II, Memphis won over Shamrock 38-7, and they get to face Seagraves Friday night at 7 p.m. over at Kimbrough. And speaking of Seagraves, they beat out Bovina, the Mustangs.
52-49.
The Mustangs end a great season at 9-2.
Yeah, and congrats to Hector Guevara and his team. You know, we talked about them all year. They were the surprise team of the year early. And David Laura, that quarterback, is as good as anybody. He's an All-State kid, in my opinion. You got to really get him on the list there and a nominee. But, yeah, you know, Seagraves knocked Memphis out of the playoffs 45-14 last year, but – they don't have Corey Kyle last year. The 4-year, the guy that seemed like a 12-year senior that wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
He's finally gone away.
Yeah,
he's at Texas A&M. And, Memphis is playing good football right now. David Dixon's as hard to stop as anybody. Brad Woods, that's a hometown of Seagraves. So there's a lot of emotions for him in this game. But I like Memphis, man. I see him getting to the third round.
I think so, too. I think Memphis is with David Dixon. They've got a great team. They were expected to roll Shamrock, which they did. But, yes, it's not the same Seagraves team as we've seen, of course, not without Corey Kyle. And so I think Memphis has a great chance to move on to the third round of the regional round.
Matt Stepp went and watched them. You know, he was here last week. We had lunch with him at Tyler's.
That's right.
He came on the show. Stepp was very impressed with Memphis. Really liked Coach Woods. And said he liked being around here. He loves the Panhandle, man. He went to Donut Stop twice.
Did he?
Well, he went and bought his own donuts, and I bought him Donut Stop the next morning.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, and we had the Tyler's Barbecue, obviously, with you and I, and we had a great time talking with
Stepp. Had a great time with Matt Stepp.
He's a man, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He needs to come back up here and,
he does.
And see another game up here.
And we'll see him down the road here in a few weeks.
Yeah, we definitely will. A few other ones we'll talk about in 2A Division 2, starting off with Farwell. They take down Tahoka 59-6.
That was very expected. Farwell, you know, as solid as a football team as you're going to get around here.
Yeah, definitely. And they're going to be facing Wellington because Wellington beat Groover 49-7.
And if I had a game of the week, you know, if we had a game of the week, an official game of the week, this would be my game of the week. Friday night, Dick Bevin. It's going to be a great crowd. Nice weather. You've seen what it's been like. Wellington, Farwell. The game won't last very long because they run the ball so much. But you talk about two physical football teams that mirror each other so much. But the thing is, as much as they like to run the ball, I think Wellington with Luke Williams, he could throw it a little more than I think the Farwell can. Farwell does a great job with their speed, so they're going to try to take away Jose Tellez from Wellington on the outside. But this is going to be just two good football teams going head-to-head. I expect it in the 20s, maybe the teens, but it should be a really good game. I think Wellington's going to come away with it, though.
Yeah, Farwell playing Wellington at Dick Bivens on Friday. That should be a good matchup if you're in the area and want to go see some good football.
Oh, great football
in the
game.
Smaller classifications.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeler in 2A Division 2 took down the Fighting Gary Jacks Clarendon Broncos 20-18, final score in that one. What a great season, though, for Clarendon.
Yeah, tough ending for them, losing three in a row. I think they got a little nicked up after the Memphis and Wellington games. But, yeah, great year at 8-3. But how about Wheeler, man? Not a lot of people gave Wheeler a chance. Holding Guess is the real deal, though. 27-17 all-purpose yards, like 29 touchdowns. He has 141 tackles. Kind of does everything for Wheeler.
He's all over the place,
yeah,
right?
But they're going to have their hands full with the Hamlin Pied Pipers. Love that nickname.
Friday in Seymour.
Yeah, Friday in Seymour. Hamlin just pounded Spring Lake Earth, and they're a very good football team that's just gotten better as the year goes on. So Holding Guess is going to need another huge performance for Aaron Witten and Wheeler to get past that second round.
And that'll do it for Division 2 out of 2A. Moving down to Division 1, Stratford, one of the favorites this year to go really far in the playoffs, and they keep rolling. They roll Hale Center 53-13 last week in the bi-district round, and they'll face Post this Friday at 4. Dick Bivens in a doubleheader, right?
Yep, the bold gold antelope of Post.
There's no slouch, by the way.
No slouch at all. 9-2, Michael Pittman's the head coach there, done a fantastic job since coming there from Anton, and he has got them rolling. They come in from Division 3A, Division 2. They know how to win games there. They're traditional power. They got two running backs over 1,000 yards. One of them is a 2,000-yard running back. So Stratford's got to have their hands full. Now, what's disappointing, though, to me is, real quick, last year, 1-2A Division 1 makes headlines for going 4-0, and this year making headlines the wrong way. They went 1-3, WT High, Panhandle, Sunray. And I was really, man, all the games were close. I thought WT High and Panhandle would really win those games. And I know those coaches are disappointed, but great years. I'm not saying they didn't, but I'm just, man, wow, 1-3.
Yeah, it was unexpected. You know, last year, like you mentioned, 4-0, and this year Stratford's the only one of them that won out of that 2A Division 1 district. And a big win over Hale Center. They are going to have their hands full with the Post, I agree with you, on Friday over at Dick Bivens.
That'd be a very good Friday at Kimbrough.
There, Kimbrough, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And but you know, Post is going to have their hands full as well because Stratford's they're so dominant, and they've had a great season. Again, they've only got one loss on the year, and so they'll be ready to roll on Friday. You mentioned the other three losses out of 2A in Division 1. WT High, they lost to New Deal 36-28.
Man, you really thought New Deal's really good. I mean, you can't say anything about what they've done, but WT High is such a good football team. I'm just so shocked. I really thought they'd make a run here with their players. But, hey, Stephen Flowers continuing to do great things there. They're continuing to get better every year, and they have a bright future ahead of them.
Panhandle, they lost 21-20 to Sundown. Man, 1 point.
1 point. I think it came down to a missed snap or something like that. And I know Dan Ashley's pretty disappointed. But, you know, Panhandle, another guy doing great things and another team with a big future ahead of them.
I agree. Also, the last one we'll talk about in 2A, Sunray, they lost to Abernathy 34-19. We knew that was going to kind of be a somewhat evenly matched football game, but Abernathy comes away with a win over Sunray.
Apparently that freshman quarterback, Bryson Daly, is the real deal from Abernathy, is what Tyler Anderson told us, our buddy from the Moore County News Press, covered that game, and he was impressed with him. But also, congrats. I know you want to give a shout-out to this kid real quick, Ethan Brotherton.
Sure. Yeah, definitely do. Made the blue-gray All-American game. That's going to be in California. Believe it where the Raiders play.
Yeah, the Raiders play the Coliseum.
And that's going to be late January.
And he'll be joined by Kobe Neely of Panhandle. And I think there's a couple other kids out there that'll be playing in that Blue Gary game, All-Star games as well from around here.
That's a pretty neat deal, though.
Oh, it's a great deal, man. That's great for those kids, yeah. I think that Dick Bivens is nicer than the Coliseum besides the seats.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Dick Bivens is a great place to play.
It is,
I'm just waiting for a Canadian's first playoff. I hope they get to play there this year. I love going over to Dick Bivens and calling a football game over there. It's great. That'll do it for all of our classifications except for your specialty, Class 1A six-man football in Division One. What's happening there?
And I'll roll through this real quick. Happy did what Happy does, beat Anton 60-0. I don't think they'll have a problem with Meadow in the regional round. Now, remember, they don't have an area round, so they'll go regional round. They're going to – I expect them to win 60-0 against Meadow. Then you've got Nazareth taking on Knox City in the other side of the bracket. Nazareth got their first win since dropping a six-man. Now they're playing the Greyhounds in Knox City. Ought to be a very talented – I mean, very evenly matched game. Nazareth 8-3, Knox City 7-4. Down to 1A Division II, Follett 9-2. The state runner-ups last year against 11-0 Amherst. Sixman.com has this Amherst by a touchdown. I'm not going to count Follett out. Fabian Gordillo, just too good of a player. He has 1,000 yards and 22 touchdowns in the last two games, Steve.
Wow.
All purpose.
Two games.
Yeah, two games. So anyway, wow. I like Follett in that one. In our last game, Valley taking on Petersburg, both teams 9-2. I like Valley. I think Valley is the team in Division II right now, so there you go.
Well, at Division One, you mentioned Happy and Nazareth playing. That's a doubleheader over at Rawls High School on Friday. 6 o'clock, Happy versus Meadow. 8 o'clock right after that game, Nazareth versus Knox City. And Follett will face Amherst Friday in White Deer at 7 p.m. Valley will face Petersburg 7:30 Friday at Lochney High School.
Yes, sir. There you go. And I love six-man, and I think our teams are going to do well this week.
That's going to do it for our wrap-up from last week in the bi-district round and also our look ahead to the area championships out of all classifications in this area in the Panhandle. Before we go, Kale, though, I want to get your thoughts on at least one team in the area that has a good shot to make it all the way.
One team?
One team.
Man, okay, Happy Cowboys, man.
And you can mention some others, but, I mean, your one team is going to be the Happy Cowboys.
You're giving me one team, I'm going to tell you right now, Happy Cowboys. I like them. I like them in this region. If they get past Borden County in the semis, I'll see you in Jerry World on a Wednesday. In December.
Sounds good to me.
Now here's yours. One team. Who you got?
One team and one team only. There's at least close to a handful of teams that I could pick.
But you're not. You're picking one.
I have to pick one. I know it. I have to homer this a little bit. I'm going to go with the Canadian Wildcats.
Not a bad pick.
No, it's not a bad pick. And I could go – I'm going to mention Childress because I think they've got a shot. But
you can't mention Childress. You just said Canadian. You have one team.
I'm going with Canadian. I think Canadian, looking at their schedule in the playoffs, I think they've got a good shot to make it all the way to the Region 1 final and face Cisco. Could face Childress, though, in the Region 1 final, and what a game that would be.
Yeah.
But I really think Canadian's got a good chance to go over Eastland this week, and then they're going to face Idaloo or Coleman next week if they win this week. And then if they win that, they'll go on to face Cisco maybe or Sonora or Childress in the Region 1 final. I think Canadian's got a good shot to make it to the Region 1 final. And maybe even beyond that, we'll see. I know it's a homer pick, but at the same time, Canadian is they're rolling right now.
They are, man. You can't take – that's a great pick.
A lot of other good teams in the area, though, has got a chance to go as well, like your pick with Happy. But well, that'll do it for this week's episode of the TPS Podcast. Good luck to all the Panhandle area teams competing this week in the playoffs. We'll be back next week with a recap of the area playoffs and a look ahead at the regional round for all the teams remaining in the area. Until then, I'm Steve Forrest for Kale Steed. Have a great day, everyone.